Yo, BJ Gajor with the Weekly BJ Podcast, and today we're talking about my favorite topic, the perfect day. I've shared a lot of stuff over the last 15 plus years in fitness. This might be the most important thing I share with you because this is about setting the stage for your quality of life, for happiness, and ultimately I've used fitness as a vehicle to help me get to what is the perfect day for me on a regular basis, but ultimately, you know, kind of living the life of your dreams and really tapping into what's inside of you and what you're looking to pursue and achieve in life, what makes you happy, what makes you content. And, you know, I'm going to go through all of it today. I'm going to talk about, you know, the influences I've had earlier on, you know, the first perfect day I've ever had, and then going through these big questions you have to ask yourself to bridge the gap between the way you're living now and the way you want to live in an ideal world. And then I'm going to kind of outline for you my perfect day, like what it looks like, the way I kind of operate on a daily basis now, and then share some like epic days that have kind of, you know, we all have them, but like ideally you want to have them more frequently, more often, and in a bigger way. And just some of these days I've had over this past year, in particular the last several months, man, like it doesn't get much better than this. And they're just like, it's those days you look back on, you'll always remember. And what's so funny too is the simplicity in some of these days. Like, not a lot of money was spent, you know, not a lot of, it wasn't grandiose. It was just the simplicity of like, you know, the simple things in life, good food, good movies, good conversation, beautiful weather, enjoying the environment, just having some time to chill, getting a good workout and like, and just really understanding, you know, what's important in life. And ultimately, it's what's important to you, nobody else. You know, that's the big thing I think people miss in this whole thing. And you know, I've seen information products and such on like how to build your perfect schedule. I've read some of them. I reviewed some of them. But ultimately, what I want to do for you in this episode is just kind of cut through all the bullshit like I always do with fitness, but also, you know, simplify the process for you. And the sooner you do this in your life, the better. And I was lucky that, you know, I had the ability to see what I wanted to do with my life. And I was very self-aware at a younger age. And I've pursued, everything I've pursued has been based on knowing myself, my own strengths, my own weaknesses, and then really tapping into the true desires that make me happy as a human. And if I can help you do that today through listening to this episode, you know, goal accomplished, you know, to kind of set the stage for this, you know, one thing that I think has a very negative connotation is the concept of being selfish. You know, I in a lot of ways in this world, we celebrate selflessness, right, and helping others and everything else. And I'm all about that. Like, it's great to do things for other people, make sacrifices for yourself, for the greater good, all that. I'm all about that. But, you know, ultimately, I do know this too. And this isn't just like, this used to be what I would say to people when they're trying to make a fitness transformation. Like, look, if you're low energy, you don't like the way you look, you have low self-esteem, how are you actually going to be a useful person to the people you care about in your life? The people that you're, in most cases, actually most likely using as an excuse to not maximize yourself. You know, I don't have the time, or I have to take care of this or that. Again, I'm not disregarding like the extreme situations that some go through. Like, some people have it really bad. You know, in America, we've got much more options than, and we're lucky. Like, we have a lot more, where even the worst of us, right, are living the dream on a global scale. And in a lot of cases, people, it's a lack of self-belief or a lack of allowing themselves to just pursue what's inside because of what others say they should do or what's been traditionally done, what's conventionally done. And ultimately, you know, for me, I've always thrown that shit out the door. You know, and I do believe the key to happiness is being selfish, and maybe self-aware is a better version of that word selfish. But if you're happy and you're thriving, everyone around you will benefit from your positive energy. If you feel unfulfilled, you will be resentful to the people that you've made sacrifices for, that you've let them be the scapegoat for not pursuing to do things the exact way you want to do in your life. Those are tough conversations to have, and some of you might like initially, oh, fuck you, BJ. Like, who are you? You don't know my situation. But look, man, we've all been there where, you know, things didn't go the way we wanted. And we say, oh, it's because of this, because of that. I've had plenty of failures in my career. When I look back on it, a lot of it is based on timing. And, you know, ultimately, I think if you are blessed with any sort of luck, you want to get success at a time when you're ready for it anyway. And usually the times where I didn't have the success I was looking for, I wasn't ready for it, either from like a personal development standpoint, or it was better to more of a lesson that would set me up for something bigger down the road. But in most cases, it was the man in the mirror, right? Like I ultimately didn't do what I needed to do, or I wasn't skilled enough or smart enough or didn't have enough wisdom to know how to optimize that situation, whatever it may be, you know. But I never let other people be the scapegoat for what I was doing. It was me. It was on me. And that is part of the issue, especially if you are an entrepreneur. Like you are someone that is, yes, you get to make your own boss, you make your own decisions, but you know, there is a lot less stability, and that, yeah, it is up to you, but like there's, you're on your own a lot of ways, right? You don't have the support of coworkers or a big brand or business that's behind what you're doing, everything else. So again, there's pros and cons to everything, but you know, along the way, you know, I think one of the biggest strengths I have is that I doggedly refuse to accept anything less than the best. I apply that to the work I do in my career. I also apply it to the standards I have in the way I live my life. And my wife is the same. We both, you know, we're a great team. We know exactly what each of us wants. You know, she writes and she has a lifestyle like myself to pursue her writing at her leisure and to do more when she wants to do more, less when she wants to do less. And we've made all these decisions based on how, knowing our individual desires and our group desires and on how we want to build this life for ourselves. And we've worked 15 to 16 years on it, man. And there were some real tough times along the way. Like, you know, times where both of us questioned the careers that we were in. And, you know, but ultimately, again, I think if you stay true to your North Star, right? Like, what is the ultimate goal? What do you want your day to look like? All these big questions we're going to come on later here. But, you know, I look at what's ultimately the most important to me. And I've said this before, and it sounds like it's a joke, but it's not. It is for real. Like, nobody tells me what to do except my wife. I do it my way. And if that means I don't have ultimately as much success as I would if I did it another way, I'm good with that because I did it my way. That's very important to me. Again, this is the self-awareness that we all need to have. Like, if your goal is just to make a shit ton of money, then, you know, you do whatever way you need to do to make that money. But for me, if it was different than the way I wanted to do it, and I would end up making more money, I wouldn't be as happy as I would be making less money doing it exactly my way. Again, you've got to understand what's inside that big, thick skull of yours. And mine is particularly thicker than others, which is why I like to do things my way. I know that about myself. I beat to my own drum. I don't like to be told what to do. In most cases, I think I can do it better. I think that's a pretty important part of being someone that's an entrepreneur or a leader in whatever you're doing. You've got to have that self-belief, man. And with that, I've mentioned this before, and many of you have heard this cliche, comparison is the thief of joy. This isn't about, like, you know, you driving a Ferrari or living on a cliff in Malibu. Look, I live in Malibu now, and I all around me, by the way, are people that have more money, you know, probably better housing, they have trust funds, you know, who knows, you know, but ultimately, again, I don't give a shit, because for me, I'm from Milwaukee, man. Like, this shit is so beyond what I could have possibly imagined growing up. Like, I think about the vacations we used to take and like how these modest vacations we would take. And like, I'm living now in a destination. Like, this would have been like the best vacation ever, a week in Malibu for us. I didn't even know fucking Malibu was actually in America, by the way. I mean, it's just so funny how things work out. But again, like, you know, if I compare my life to other people in Malibu, like, you know, it's easy to find ways to not be as happy as you should. But like, this is exactly what I want to do. This is beyond my wildest dreams. Like, I didn't even know if this would be possible. So I'm not going to let the success of other people get in the way of that. And it's easy to forget that, especially with social media. And I think that's why it's important to find a way to kind of drown out that noise and, you know, watch less of the news and get off social media whenever you can and just spend time enjoying life. And again, pursuing your passions, what makes you tick, and having fun with that. And, you know, ultimately, you got to do the best with whatever gifts you've got, right? Like, I've got plenty of my own limitations. I know that in this life, I'm only able to get so far. And some say that's a negative mindset. No, it's just like, look, I'm not LeBron James, okay? I'm not Aaron Rodgers. I'm not like a, you know, basically all people in fitness, by the way, are like, we're failed athletes. We may have taken it further than most people. Like I was a captain of a college football team, right? A quad captain. You know, I had a lot of injuries. I could have been a lot better, but I wasn't going to go pro. You know, even if like everything worked out, I didn't deal with injuries and I maximized my potential as a player. Like, look, it was hard for me to be 275. I had to eat like 8 meals a day. I have physical limitations. I don't have a lot of physical ability. I have more than most, but not enough to be at that elite level, right? So usually what happens is when you can't do that. But I will say there is, you know, in terms of like why she listened to my fitness information, there's nobody that's gotten more out of their body than me. There might be other people that have done well with their bodies and gotten as far as they could, but I have taken it as far as it, you know, it really will allow naturally without, you know, fake surgeries or anything else like that, taking drugs. You know, I've gotten the most out of it. And I've parlayed a failed athletic career into a pretty successful fitness career, you know, and really like I joke a lot of time with my buddy Jeremy Scott, like really we're almost like pro athletes, except we're taking the long course. There aren't going to be highs that are as high, probably aren't going to be lows that are as low, and we're going to have more longevity in this, right? Because I could do this for as long as you are willing to see my, you know, my face on video or hear my voice, right? And you know, so ultimately you recognize that and you're the best with what you've got. So for me, for my own physical gifts, for, you know, knowing that fitness is a lot about how you look, I probably have taken it as far as, you know, with what I've got as I can. I'm going to keep pushing to see if I can do more. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to be happy with using the gifts I've got and to the best of my ability and sharing as much value with people like you as possible along the way. And I'm good with that. You know, and that isn't to say that I wouldn't be happy with more success, but I'm also like, I'm realistic, man. I'm self-aware. Like I don't have the looks or the talent or the physical ability to be something that I'm not. And I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm going to pursue that doggedly and then end up being unfulfilled in my life, right? I'll maximize what I've got and be content with the fact that I'm living the life that I want to lead. And even if other people around me are doing more or less or whatever. So that's important. I have to touch on some early influences, right? Because I think this is like critical. One of the things I look back on the most, if I can, you know, pinpoint what has put me on this trajectory to live these perfect days for myself. You know, my grandparents were really important for me. Like my dad and mom my mom worked in a factory. My dad was a cable guy and they would do a lot of overtime. My mom worked third shift and my dad would do like 36 hour shifts sometimes. So I spent a lot of time in my earlier years, you know, with my grandparents who were retired at the time. And, you know, my grandma was an immigrant from Austria and my grandpa wasn't actually my blood grandpa. He was a step grandpa. He was my mom's stepdad, but you know, they just had a lot of influence on me. And one thing they really said, I used to watch Golden Girls with my grandma all the time. My grandpa really got me into sports. Like he made me, he got me into the Packers. He got me into all the sports, but like in particular, like I'm a Packers fan until the day I die because of my grandpa. He got me my first share in stock as a part owner of the Green Bay Packers, along with everybody else in Wisconsin. And, you know, we used to watch sports together and everything else, but you know, they kind of introduced me to the possibility that there was more, right? You know, like they did pretty well in life with where they came from. You know, my grandpa was a child of the Great Depression. He was a famous labor leader in the AFL-CIO in Wisconsin, and he made a name for himself in you know, politics and everything else like that. And they made some smart moves with money. They ended up retiring in Fort Myers, Florida, and we'd always love to visit them. We'd go every spring break, winter break, we'd go visit them. And it was just a taste of like something more, you know, like beautiful weather, palm trees, you know, that they would take us to the best restaurants. And they just always gave me the best time. Like it was whatever I wanted. And it just showed me that there was a lot more out there. And one thing they really put in my head, I always remember them saying to me, you're special, do whatever your heart desires. Like just having that, the importance, like if you are a mentor to someone or a parent or a grandparent or an older sibling, just putting those words into someone's mind just unlocks so much potential, right? Like we are all so capable. Like, we are all so close to each other. At the same time, we all have such a unique footprint. Like, nobody else in the world is like us, but we're like so alike. We are so, like, the variance between all of us as people is so small. And a lot of what dictates, you know, our lot in life is its circumstance, opportunity, but also what people tell you along the way. When people tell you you're a piece of shit, or you're dumb, or you're ugly, or you don't have any talent, you know, even if you want to do the best you can with what you've got, you know, that shit, those are anchors you carry with you for the rest of your life in a lot of ways. But when you have people around you that can direct you in a more positive light and tell you that, you know, it's really all possible, right? And that, and give you the permission to pursue what you want to do, like, man, that was a game changer for me. And again, like, I'm talking like 3, 4, 5, 6. Like, I remember them saying this shit to me. And I look back now, and it's guided me all the way. They both have passed at this point. But man, their impact on me was just tremendous. And, you know, I tried to also apply that with my little brother, you know, who's 12 years younger. And, you know, he's going through pivotal moments in his life, just starting his career. He graduated college. He had his first job experience and go as well as he liked. Now he's in a much better one. But, you know, along the way, I've always tried to be there for him and tell him, like, look, man, like, you're going to do great things. You're going to do whatever you want to do. And whatever you choose to do, you're going to be the best at it to your ability. And, you know, almost that same permission my grandparents gave me to, like, do whatever you want. You're special. You know, I've tried to pass along to him, because a lot of us just unfortunately weren't able to have people around us to give us that push and to give us permission to be our best. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's important. And then, you know, my senior in college, pivotal moment, right? I was a double major in economics and sociology. I was completely lost. So lost. Like, because everything, I was like an A student in high school. I would do 6 hours of homework a night. It was obsessive. I was a perfectionist with it. Like, I would rewrite I'd take notes in class, and then I'd rewrite them, and then I would type them out. I shit you not. Like, I was so extra about everything I did, because I was just trying to, like, my identity was, I'm going to play football in college, and I'm going to be a good student so I can get to a good school and make my parents proud and be the first one in my family to graduate from college. And then I want to be successful after that, but I didn't even know what that would be or what that would look like. But ultimately what I ended up doing, like, look, I don't want to go to Wall Street. I don't know what I would fucking do with sociology, to be honest. But I knew I loved to work out, and I had a passion for it. And ultimately, I was more into fitness than I was into football, to be honest. If there was a sport I would have done, honestly, I really liked basketball much better. But my game was more horizontal, if you know what I mean, than vertical. I was more of, I'm a bruiser, you know. Boxing, honestly, now that I box now, I wish I would have pursued boxing, because I think I have more natural talent for that sport than anything else I've done to date. But regardless, again, like, you know, I knew that I'd rather pursue that. And I was true to that. Like, that's the one thing I had to work out every single day in some way, right? I had to move to be happy. And I found some fulfillment in that. And I also had all these issues, right? I was overweight. I had all these injuries. How amazing would it be for me to learn more about this and help other people overcome those same issues and never have to deal with them in the first place? So, you know, again, that once I knew that, I mean, then it was really easy to pursue all of this. Okay, then it was just, now I just have to become good at this, work with enough people, then start to make a name for myself so I can parlay that into me being able to impact more people without actually having to be there on a larger scale and find more freedom of schedule. Again, like, all these things get unlocked once I found that, you know, that sole purpose, right, of what, like, this is what I'm going to do, that laser focus. When I decide to do something, I go all in, and I'm going to keep going until I get there. And at the expense of a lot of other things, like, thank God for my wife. Like, I've never paid a bill in my life. You know, when we have doctor's appointments, like, she gets me all the documentation and sometimes drops me off. Like, in a lot of ways, like, I'm an undeveloped human being, but, you know, whatever I do pursue and I'm laser focused on it, I'm very good at. But I also know that I have all these other weaknesses, and I was lucky to find someone in my life that can compliment me and help me on that end as well. And again, that's, I also identified pretty early, like, man, she's first girlfriend, first significant other. I mean, there was no doubt. She was my best friend. I knew she was the one. We had similar backgrounds and similar goals and desires. And she was my, she's my ultimate teammate. She's the, you know, I'm the Scottie Pippen to her Michael Jordan, so to speak. Hopefully I'm the Antonio Davis to her LeBron James. If you're a Lakers fan, you know what I'm talking about, since AD's on his way to LA. But, you know, that was also critical too. And I knew it. There's nothing better than this for me. She was the ultimate. Another key influence for me, again, so I locked in the person I'm going to live my life with early on in college, and I also locked in what I wanted to do. Like, those are two pretty key things. A friend of mine who I did some work with, and also he did some coaching for me early on, his name is Jim Labadie. I don't even know if he's in fitness anymore. I know he's not in fitness, but like he did a lot of business coaching. He was one of the first people out there, like 2005, 6, 7, 8, teaching trainers how to make more money and get more time into their schedules, and honestly, a game changer for me and a lot of other people out there. If you're an OG follower of mine, or you're into fitness for a while, you probably remember that name. And we worked on things together, like the Bootcamp Blueprint, which basically helped other bootcamp owners implement the workout and business systems we use to help them have the same success at a local level. And Jim, you know, was instrumental in helping me get a fast start in a lot of ways, and learn that I could make money without actually having to see people or be there. It was an online type of program, a coaching group. Again, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing now, it's just, they're more perfected versions of what I was doing 10 plus years ago. And that is a lot of what building a career is all about, by the way. Like, these are just 2.0, 3.0, 4.0s of the first thing you get going. And if you have the doggedness to keep pursuing it and refining it and getting better. And just like I say all the time, if you keep showing up, eventually you're the last person left in the room. And if you just give yourself time to be shitty at something long enough, eventually you'll be less shitty or good or great at it. But one thing that really struck me, again, you know, much like myself, Jim was very introverted. He wasn't in it for like fame or recognition. Like I'm the same way. Like, if I could live the way I want to live without having to have people know my name or see me, I mean, I'm all about that. I mean, that I don't need any of that shit to be fulfilled. I know that about myself, but I do need to live a certain place. I do need to make a certain amount of money to eat the way we want to eat and do the things we want to love. And, you know, I just got recently the Air Max 95s. I've been one of my favorite shoes growing up, and like, I got to find them. I finally did. You know, and then having the money to buy that without having to think about it. You know, it's a $100 pair of shoes, which I got on sale. But again, these are just like the things that for me, that this, to not have to think about spending on things that I love, that are important to me. And luckily I have expensive taste, but I don't really care about things that are super expensive, like cars or homes or things like that. But anyway, I digress. One thing he really said to me that stuck with me is like, you know what I'm all about? Like, I just go, like on a Tuesday or a Thursday, like when everybody else is working in an office, I go and see a matinee movie alone in a theater. He just goes by himself. I'm like, that's one of the most gangster things I've ever heard. Like, because I love movies. And I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. I was an only child for a long time. My brother is 12 years younger, and my parents weren't in the social circles of a lot of the people I went to school with. So, you know, like, again, I had a core group of friends, but, you know, I didn't have a very active social life, and I was very independent and was by myself a lot. And sometimes when I go on spring break by myself to my grandparents, I would just go, we had a local theater it was this Bell Tower area in Fort Myers, and they had this like amazing theater set up, and I go and watch movies by myself. And I remember I shared that once with my wife, and she's like, who goes to a movie by themselves? I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like one of the best things ever. But obviously I'd love to go, I'd rather go with my wife or some, or a close friend, but you know, I'm also cool going by myself. But that was like, man, that's exactly what, that sums it up for me. Like, going to a fucking afternoon movie, not only is it less expensive, but it's saying fuck you to the way that society tells you to do things, right? You should be at the office right now working for the man or big brother, right? But no, you're at a fucking movie on Tuesday or Thursday. I was like, that sums up like my approach. Just to be able to do that without thinking about it, that was a game changer to me. The permission, I guess, again, it's almost like you don't know you can do it until you know somebody else does. And it's like, oh, well, he's successful. He's smart. He's happy in his life. So that I want to be able to do something like that. And that really stuck with me. That was like, I don't know, 2006, 2007. Then obviously I read the 4-Hour Work Week. I started my first online business within a week after reading that book, by the way. I'm a fast starter. When I decide to do something, I go fast. I go into it all in. And it's so funny now, occasionally, I forget, maybe a year ago, I saw someone, I was exchanging with someone, or I emailed someone, and I got that classic, like, oh, you clearly just read the 4-Hour Work Week, which is that autoresponder that says, due to a high volume of work and prioritizing myself, I'm no longer answering emails as frequently. I'll be answering only between these times, and you expect me to respond at this time. It's like, I'm glad you're just discovering that book now, 10 years after the fact. But I also laugh because they're just getting started in this. They have no idea how long it's going to take for them to get to the quote-unquote 4-Hour Work Week, if ever. But that book did have an influence on me. Again, I saw it was possible. And I'll be honest now, like, my wife and I were just joking about this the other day. We are having some 4-Hour Work Weeks. Like, right now in the summer, we're kind of stepping back a little bit. And it's an off-season in fitness, and there's a lot of waiting time as well with regards to launching our new fashion line, Sleeves Sold Separately. So, you know, when that wraps up and we get things launching, you know, there will be some more intense bursts of work and everything else. But I've always been fascinated by that teacher schedule, right? That student, a lot of it goes back to what it was when you were a kid, right? You'll never find better friends. You'll never, there's a nostalgia associated with music and clothing and sport and or activity that you'll always, you know, whenever you do it in your adulthood, it's just special. More than it would be if you've never done it before, right? Because there's just something special about doing something when you're a kid and how it carries through in your life. And, you know, I'm just blown away by how, you know, we are actually in some cases, like, we only have to do like a couple hours of work a week to fulfill some weeks. Like, there are weeks that are busier than others. Obviously, the last week of the month, we're making new content for the dailybj.com, our fat loss membership site, and then Gorilla Corn Gains, the online coaching group and muscle building group I have. You know, those are busier weeks. But, you know, in the past, I would just be working to make myself busy because I would be guilty with the extra time. And now I'm like, fuck it. I don't have much to do this week. Like, literally today, all I want to do is get this podcast out there. And that's going to be enough for me to be fulfilled from a productivity standpoint. I had a beach walk with my wife. We had a good lunch together. We're going to be doing more movies in our new outdoor film setup with a projector and everything else. I'll talk more about that later. But we just kind of, we said to ourselves, we're going to have the best fucking summer ever. And we're gonna not do as much work as we've done in past summers and be okay with that. And you know, that's part of the issue, again, of having success, is that there's guilt associated with not being as busy as you were, you know, when you were younger at other times in your life. And again, why were we so busy when we were younger to get to this point where we can pick and choose when we want to be busy and when we're going to work really hard, but also have the time to be unproductive and just lazy? And ultimately, when we do need to turn it back on and flip that switch, the rest and the clarity that you can gain from, you know, being less productive is off the charts. You come off being so much more creative, etc. People know this anytime they go on a vacation or take time off from work and you know, go on a beautiful trip with friends and family. So, but anyway, like, you know, that book had an impact. And certainly, you know, you know, you can't always have every week be 4-Hour Work Weeks, but, you know, like, it is a possibility after a long period of time and when you can really dial in the perfect schedule for yourself. So, but those are big influences to get me where I am today. And I just mentioned them. And, you know, humbly, I hope that I could, if not be an influence on some of you to pursue this, but at least maybe get you in the mindset to start pursuing it in some way, or be a catalyst, you know, because again, like, fitness is great. You know, I hope to help improve your diet and optimize your training. But like, that shit is, let's be honest, like, that shit's not very important in the big picture of things. Like, this is the shit. Like, if I can get some of you to just stop looking at what others are doing and do exactly what you want to do with your life, I mean, that's a far greater impact than anything I can give you with sets and reps and macros, man. Like, that's the real shit. So one thing I got to go to, like, my first perfect day, like, when I identified it, mid-20s, I took a trip to Mexico with my wife and her best friends growing up in high school, and they brought their husbands along the way, and just a beautiful trip. Like, you know, obviously Mexico is beautiful. The weather is beautiful. But one day in particular, like we woke up, we had coffee, beautiful views, you know, just some conversation, crushed a great workout outdoors, you know, shirtless, got the sun. It was just like great sweat, you know, ocean breeze. Midday, we have this amazing ceviche and the freshest fucking, like the freshest ceviche and guacamole I've ever had. The guacamole was like a type of vibrant green I've never seen before. And it was just like, you know, and we're beachside, like we're our table's in the sand right next to the beach. And it was just like, is this real life? Like my mind was blown. The afternoon was just sun and fun, like beach, tan, activities. I think we did some ATVing at some point that week, but just, you know, you soak it in. And then at night, that particular day, we had this amazing fajitas dinner with like authentic chips and salsa. Awesome conversation. Like I love, there's nothing better than having good conversation in a small group. I don't like big groups. I like six people or less. And just going deep with people and talking about the important things in life and having fun and big laughs. And just, you know, that's the simple shit that just like fulfills me in a big way. I don't like parties or big get-togethers and stuff like that. That for me, that's like kryptonite. We did a pre-bed movie and then I got it on with my wife. I don't know. Is there a better day? I mean, like, and again, like just identifying that, like, wow, that's a fucking day. I got to find a way to get more of those in my life. I got to find a way to string more of those together, you know? And really from there, my goal was to keep fine tuning that day and find a way to make it more frequent and, you know, and then run it like stringing together perfect days like a boss. Like that really is what the big picture becomes. And, you know, how do you get there, right? There's these really big questions you've got to ask yourself. What do you value most? That's different for everyone. Again, these are the questions you have to ask of yourself. What I value most is probably different than you, but you know, there might be some commonalities. But the most important thing, if I had to pick one thing, it would be my time. I value the shit out of it. Way more than money or anything else like that. I love food. I love movies. I love hanging out with my wife. You know, I'll get to that next, but like, you know, what do you value the most? And really the freedom schedule and time. You know, I've said this before in other episodes, I believe, you know, that I'm not a billionaire, but I have the freedom of schedule of a billionaire. Like that's what I value the most. And then once you know that, you can start to build a life around that. But if you don't know those, if you don't know what you value the most and you're just trying to do what other people are doing around you, it's just, you might even have success, but you're not going to be fulfilled. You got to know exactly what it is that you value the most. For some of you, it might be your kids. It might be your job. It might be money. It might be, you know, I don't know what it is, but like you've got to be okay with, even if it might be shallow, right? Like something you could say, I'd value world peace. You know, I think we all do, but you know, is that what's going to drive you to do big things or transformative things for your life? You know, you have to be able to answer that very important question. What do you value most? Number two, who do you want to spend most of your time with? Like, I know I've been very self-aware early on in my life. I don't really care for people that much. I have 10 people in this world that I would really consider people that I love, care about, and are close confidants. Not that everybody else in the world, because there's 7 billion people, I don't care about. It's just, you know, I know for my own fulfillment, I don't need a lot of people in my life. I prioritize quality relationships over relationships of quantity. It's just, that's me. I'm introverted. I'm very antisocial in a lot of ways. And this is important shit. Like if you don't like people and you're stuck in situations where you have to be around people all the time, like it will destroy you. Like the 2 years I spent at Men's Health in a lot of ways was just a reminder of like, fuck, I can't do this. I can't see the same people that, if I'm being honest, I don't really care about on a regular basis. On a day to day, it's just too much. Like, that's why I like to work from home. Like, it's my wife, my little brother, and then about 8 other people in this world that I communicate with on a regular basis that I really am invested in, personally, and that you know, I want to see do well, and I love, and I love spending time with. And, you know, I know that about myself. Now, if you need more interaction, you need to be around people, you're more extroverted. I know some of those people. One of my best buds, David Jack, you know, who's been very influential in my career, is the exact opposite of me. Like he's super extroverted, loves talking to strangers, gets energy from it. For me, that would be like a nightmare for him. It's like it's his lifeblood, and he's in tune with that. You know, you've got to be in tune with that. But identifying who you want to spend most of your time with, people that you enjoy that add value to your life, like that makes a huge difference. And you know, that's been a big part of the schedule I've set up and the lifestyle I've set up, and trying to find ways to spend more time with those people. And I've been like, because my little brother now works in Boston, like we're so, you know, we don't want to, I don't know if he's listening to this episode or not, but he had an opportunity to initially work in California, but he ended up choosing Boston, and we wanted that to be his decision. When he first told me, I was disappointed. I don't know if he knew. I tried to hide it, but because I wanted him to make that decision, ultimately get out here when he was ready on his own terms, and hopefully he can get here in a couple of years. And, you know, that would really complete, like, that's one big part that's missing for me right now, is I'd like to spend more time with my little brother, man. Like, one of my best friends, we have such a good time together, and, you know, there's no amount of, FaceTiming is great, but it doesn't cut like hanging out and, you know, doing stuff together, and hopefully he can get here too. But, and then he identified too on his trip to California that he would love to get out here and live here. And I knew he would, but people have to make that decision for themselves, I think. And, but yeah, it's always a work in progress. Like, you know, he's not here yet, but hopefully he'll get here soon. And that's going to definitely make life even better. You know, then kind of piggybacking on that, where do you want to live? Man, is that an important decision. You know, obviously we know it's location, location, location when it comes to business. But really what they should say is location, location, location when it comes to life. If you are living in a place right now that does not make you happy, I don't care how much money you make, how much personal success you have, how sexy your husband or wife is, you're leaving some quality of life on the table. It's in your environment. Everything you do is in it. And if you don't like it, and again, like I've lived a lot of places I didn't want to live for a long time to get to where I live now. And I knew ultimately I wanted to be somewhere warm. Then especially later in life, then I was in a fitness career. I wanted a place that was, you know, I could do stuff outside, no problem. Maybe have an outdoor gym set up, garage gym year round, no problem. And ultimately I wanted to live in a destination because I don't value travel as much as some people do. I'm not a big travel guy. I wanted to live in a destination where people want to travel to, so that travel, not that I'll never travel again, but I don't know if there are a lot of better places than when I'm currently living. I'm living right across from the beach right now, like on PCH. The views are incredible. The weather is always between like 60 and 80. Doesn't rain a lot. It's beautiful. The views, I mean, like, again, like that's identifying. I knew what I wanted there, and it took a long time to get there. And again, a lot of that was the early influence of like Florida, visiting my grandparents, etc. But, you know, things are so much better now that we're living where we want to live. And we were doing a lot of the stuff we love to do in other places, like, you know, movies and good food and stuff, but it just isn't the same unless you match your environment to your personality, right? And I finally feel like I'm at home. It's taken me, you know, 35, 36 years to get there. But that is something where I know a lot of people that will never leave Milwaukee, right? Or my parts of my family will never leave. Like my dad's original family will never leave Tunisia, North Africa, where he's from. Like we know a lot of people that will never leave the comforts of home, but they might be happy there. And if that leads to fulfillment, great. But if you're sitting and living in a place that doesn't resonate with you, or you want more, like, I don't care what you tell yourself or how you try to sell it to yourself, like, you are going to sell yourself short if you don't end up living where you want to live, no matter how long it takes you to get there. And I remember joking with one of my buddies, Jason C. Brown, who is a kettlebell expert, and he does kettlebell workshops, etc. And I was like 26, and we were at like a business event, speaking together, working with different groups of fitness pros and trainers. And I said to him, like, I'm going to retire by 35. And he looked at me like I was fucking crazy. And I've joked about this on other outlets too. Like, now I'm 36, and like, I feel like I'm just getting started. But in a way, I'm living like a retiree because I pick and choose when I want to work. I'm living like a lot of people around us where we live now are much older. Maybe they've lived it their whole life, or it's just taking them longer to get there. Like, we're living like retirees at a pretty young age while still being productive. And again, like when you, for the most part, enjoy what you do, there's no reason to stop doing it as long as you can keep helping people and people are interested in the information. If there's a time when people aren't interested in what I have to share anymore, then I've got to look at something else, or hopefully I've saved up enough money. But you know, these are just things you have to consider. It's very important to know where you want to live and identify that. And we knew that this, it was going to be California, most likely Southern California. And we kind of fell into Malibu, but, don't underestimate the power of location where you live. Next, what value do you want or have to provide to the world? Ideally want to, but sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do, that allows us to afford, the lifestyle we're after. And again, one thing that's important too, like I joke with my wife about this all the time. People that have lived here in Malibu, like their whole life. And like, first of all, like how, like, will you ever really appreciate how awesome this is? Like it's because it's all they know. Like for us, the stark contrast of where we grew up to the way it is now. Like, yeah, I do think we'll always value it more. If we ever chose to have kids, you know, we'd like to humble them as much as possible. But like, if they grew up here, man, like, they'll never appreciate. They'll never truly appreciate it, right? It's a fact. You do the best you can, but you know, you've got to figure out, you know, how can. We're not trust fund babies, and some of them can, you know, manage their way to not have to do much of anything in life and live the life of most people's dreams. But ultimately, they're probably not fulfilled anyway. So we do, as humans, need to feel important in some way, productive in some way. Doesn't have to fucking be like Steve Jobs type of productive or transformative, right? But it, you know, we make a name for ourselves in some way and feel like we're making something positive for society. That's important. And obviously, to afford the lifestyle that you ultimately want to live, you've got to provide value to this world in some way. You got to figure that out, right? What is that? Ideally, something that you're passionate about. But you know, frankly, I know a lot of people that are very happy in life that maybe didn't pursue things that they were necessarily passionate about, but has afforded them the lifestyle of their dreams, and that's where they get their happiness from. And they just know even if you pursue a passion, that passion, there's plenty of things in fitness that I don't want to do. Like, I try to eliminate a lot of that stuff, but you know, like, do you think I want to fucking make a new workout every day and share on social media? Like, that is the most unsatisfying thing. I've done this. It does nothing for me anymore at this point. I have to keep doing it, but, you have to constantly stay top of mind. It doesn't thrill me the way it used to when it was new to me. I can do it in my sleep now. So again, you know, there still will be plenty of stuff you have to do you don't want to do, but you know, you got to find what value you can offer that you can monetize, because we all need money to do what we want to do, and some of us need more than others. And you know, for us, it's really just having enough to not have to think about it. You know, that's we're not trying to be Warren Buffett or anything else like that. We're just trying to, you know, coming from families that were paycheck to paycheck or struggled at times, like, we never wanted to have to worry about that, and just to make a buying decision without having to really think about it too much, even though we still do and get guilty about it sometimes. We treat ourselves, but whatever. Then what's your ideal schedule, right? What do you want that day to look like on a week in, week out basis? What do you want your weekends to look like? What do you want your seasons to look like, right? Like we just talked about, do you like to take time off in the summer, or, you know, longer trips or vacations or time off? Like, you've got to figure out what you want that to look like, right? Because again, that's where it all starts. And usually people work the other way around. They pursue something and then they end up doing the schedule that they think makes sense to get there. But ultimately they end up never really being happy because they're working too much, or it's, you know, awkward timing or whatever else like that. So you've got to figure out the ideal schedule. I'm going to talk about my perfect day and what my daily schedule looks like. Many of you have asked, and I'm going to share that coming up. And then, you know, number six, you know, what's next? What are you striving for, looking forward to? That's the one thing about being content, right? Like, this is, I'll be completely honest. This is I am in uncharted territory in my life where I am 100% content. And there's a danger to that because, you know, throughout my life up until this point, I've always been pushing for the next thing and, you know, trying to elevate myself and always look back 5 years. When I look back 5 years from now, I'm like, I'm now better than I was then. And I want to always have that mindset about myself. But at the same time, when you're always looking for what's next and you don't savor the flavor, you're not in the moment enjoying life as it is currently meant to be lived. So you have to balance that. But at the same time, you know, you always have to have that carrot in front of you, right? That whatever motivation you need to put in place to kind of stay the course and but keep things exciting, you know, keep things fresh and new, you know. These are the six big questions. I mean, these are the six things that you have to really tap into. Nothing else matters until you answer these six things, right? And you stay on top of these six things. And everything I've done up until my life up until now was after I identified these things, and I didn't necessarily identify them in these six questions. It was in the ether, right? It was just in my consciousness, right? I just have been laser focused in pursuing it. Finding the clarity and then being laser focused on pursuing that clarity has been my key to success. If that is something I can leave you with today, if you want to do something big with your life or maximize the quality of your life, answer these six questions and then be laser focused on pursuing them to the best of your ability. So what does my day look like? You know, this is a perfect day for me right now. Like this is what my day-to-day is. Like this is what I did today. And this is what I'm going to do tomorrow, like in most cases, right? 7 to 8 a.m. I wake up without an alarm. I have an alarm set for 8, but I always wake up before it. That was like one thing I identified early on is when I used to do really early morning workouts or boot camps and at 4:30 a.m. wake ups back in the day. I was like, I can't fucking wait till I can just wake up without a fucking alarm and not ever have to really hear that sound. So right there, I'm starting the day on like the best note. That was a game changer. So wake up, around 9, between 8, 9, 9, 10, I have morning coffee, my protein shake with greens powder, and then views. Right now, we got our little second floor patio. We look at overlook PCH, the beach, beautiful mountains and palm trees, and I'm usually watching First Take. That's my favorite morning show on ESPN on my phone. Get my little tripod set up. We're enjoying the views. My wife is chilling with me right next to me. We're just soaking it up, man. Just enjoying life. And that slow start to the day is just like something special that, so many people, especially us early on, we never were able to experience. It was just like, get out the door, army shower, take coffee with you in the car. You know, don't even have time to take a shit and really enjoy it. Like, so, man, a nice slow start to the day. I know that's counter to all the success machines and productivity whores out there, but there is nothing like waking up without an alarm and having a beautiful slow start to the day. Just let your body wake up, let your mind wake up. And, then around 10, get into my morning routine, you know, shit, shave, shower. If you're a guy, those are the things. I don't shave every day, just every 3 to 5 days. By the way, that's my recommendation as a dude, especially if you have thick hair, thick beard hair. Every 3 to 5 days is perfect. You tap into that like 3 to 5 day beard without having to fully commit to the maintenance and itchiness and upkeep of a regular beard, and then you get the fresh shave looked right off of it. You get that exfoliation. It's always the freshest shave after 3 to 5 days, less ingrown hairs, all that shit. And then I'll do just a couple things on social media, get some stuff out there, because especially we're on the West Coast, so the East Coast is 3 hours ahead, so you got to get things out relatively quick before the fucking day is over. But, you know, do some of that morning stuff, maybe check a couple emails. Anything that actually has to get done, I will. And then from 11 a.m. to 1, that's like my workout time. The workout itself only takes an hour, but, you know, some days I'll do more mobility and self-massage to get ready to work out. I'll hit my workout up, get some post-workout protein and greens again, and then I'll walk the dogs. And we got a nice little area here. I walk them, and sometimes I listen to music. Sometimes I listen to a podcast. Music is key too, by the way. Like, I always like to get some good music during the workouts. Find a good playlist on Spotify. One of my favorites right now is just the 90s hip hop playlist on Spotify. It's so good. So good. Like I mentioned, like the nostalgia of your youth, like that music is always going to just sound amazing to me. And people from all the elder millennials, listening, you know what I'm talking about. And then get that dog walk in, and I love walking the dogs. It's been a staple of my life for a decade now, like a daily 30-60 minute dog walk. Something peaceful about it. I love our two boxers. We've had four total. Two have passed, but the two we have now, you know, just our next generation of boxers, and you know, that's a big part of my day. And then around 1, 2 p.m. I'll have my first protein and produce meal, and then about from 2 to 5 p.m. is when I start doing, you know, actual work. Like, you know, it could be writing a new article, programming, workouts, you know, filming something for YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, getting a podcast in, you know, whatever it is that I have to get done. You know, it could be stuff regarding the fashion stuff we're developing. But the MO is, in the past, like, I had like a list of 5 to 10 plus things to get done. Now I'm just get one quality thing accomplished here that gets the needle moving in the right direction. Like today, I'm just going to get this podcast done, and maybe I'll want to do more later, but I'm good with that because I know this is going to help a lot of people that need to hear this message. And I wanted to put a lot of effort into it. I spent plenty of time thinking about it, outlining it, reflecting on it. And, you know, that's important. Again, like I said, too, we're taking some time in the summer just to back off on work a bit. It is the fitness off season anyway. You know, there's a time of year where we're much busier in fitness, end of year, and obviously January is bigger. Not that you don't want to keep things in motion, but, you know, it's okay to have some downtime, some off time. I think that's a big part of living life and enjoying life. And then around 5 to 6 p.m., second protein and produce meal. And then from 7 to 10 is chill time. You know, usually movies, maybe some video games, Netflix and stretch. I always try to get a little nighttime mobility in to just stay loose and push recovery and get to that relaxation going. You know, I take some CBD oil at night as well from just relaxation, anti-anxiety, better sleeps. And then night routine takes place between 10 and 10:30. You know, washing your face, putting on your nighttime moisturizer, brushing your teeth, flossing, all that stuff. And then I'm in bed by 11 without a doubt. And I always fall asleep by midnight unless, like, I had too much caffeine or something came up or, you know, something. It was just an off day or whatever. But that schedule ensures I get my minimum 7 to 8 hours of sleep, upwards of 8 to 9, and that is the perfect day for me. Obviously, how does it change on weekends? You know, that work time, but from basically, it's pretty much the same, but the work time from 2 to 5 is not usually work time. It's just like beach time, go out to LA or other areas, you know, whatever. We go and we have fun and we do whatever we want to do. Otherwise, it's pretty similar, my weekday to weekend schedule. We just get more, even more free time, which is great. And then I look at some epic days, like, you know, one of the reasons I always wanted to live in a destination is that I always had the dream of hosting family and friends. And I've been able to, over the last year, like, host almost all the people that are really close to me have visited us and hung with us here. And man, I get so much fulfillment from that. And I knew that, like, that, because the way my grandparents used to host us in Fort Myers, Florida on spring break and winter break, like, I saw how much joy it gave them, and I'm like, I can't wait to do that for someone else and just be able to have a place that, like, they come, they can visit, they can work out in the backyard of the garage, they can hang out with us. The beach is right across the street. We've got amazing restaurants. You've got the best drive in the fucking world, in my opinion, on PCH. Like, just to be a place people will always be here. You guys can come, and that was a dream for us, and it's just been so great. And there's been a couple times that have, like, stood out recently. Like, I was just having an amazing day, and we ended up in this theater that had the ability to, like, order really, like, gourmet food and eat it while you're watching a movie. We're watching Avengers Endgame, and I had got this, like, Texas burger that had, it was this awesome burger with onion rings on top, pulled pork with barbecue sauce. I mean, it was just like, I'm in there, I'm like in the theater. It's like a surreal moment, right? Like, I'm in the theater right now watching Avengers Endgame, which is also a great movie, fun movie to watch, eating this fucking burger. And I'm like, doesn't get much better for me. It doesn't get much better than this. Now, you might think I'm a loser or a simpleton because of that. But again, like, that's what makes me tick. And I'm there with my favorite person in the world, my wife. And she was like laughing at me because I was like, every bite I took of the sandwich, like, it was dark. So I didn't really know what exact flavor I was about to get. Like, some bites had more of the pork than the other. Some had more of the burger. Then I got the onion ring. Like, it was just, so I was making, like, gestures and, like, pointing at the sandwich, like, how good it was, and whispering, this is so fucking good. And she's laughing because people around us are like, what's this fucking guy doing? He's like having an orgasmic experience with this burger. But I was like, this is, for me, this is it. Like, this is what it's all about. You know, that stood out. And then, like, this is a day last week, man. Every Friday right now, I do 15 rounds of sparring with my wife, body sparring. And again, like, I'm not a wife abuser, okay? She wants to do it. And by the way, she's like, she's a Puerto Rican from the Bronx, so she can take. I've given some pretty good shots to her. And again, it's body sparring. You can hit like shoulders, arms, body. We wear gloves, and I try to create as many handicaps as possible. Like I'll do some rounds where I only can use one arm, and I'll let her unload on me sometimes. And obviously, I'm not throwing power shots, but I am, based on the biofeedback from working with her, I am throwing at a threshold, right at a threshold where, like, if I threw any harder, it would not hurt her, but it would be uncomfortable, right? Because that's part of how you make someone better in boxing and everything else. But it's a really fun workout we have together. We play good music. Sometimes our neighbors walk by and see us punching each other in the garage, and I don't know what they think. I don't give two shits, but it's a really fun thing we can do together, you know, and get a great workout in. That the hour flies by. I burn 1,000 calories from it because of all the movement, and just it's a blast. But you know, we had that normal start to the day. We hit that great workout before lunch. Then we hung out at the beach. We had an edible when we got back home and had pizza and sushi. I played some NBA 2K. Then we played some Until Dawn, which is like this role playing game that basically what I love is I my wife plays and I just watch, and I'm just there to help her make these decisions. You know, so you make decisions on that affect the plot and the outcome of the game. And then we got into, like, we went deep into, like, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. Like, man, could those two sing. The best national anthem of all time was Whitney Houston's performance at the Super Bowl back in the day. I'd say second would be Marvin Gaye's national anthem at the All-Star Game. Google or YouTube both of those. Like, mind-blowing performances. Like, I don't know how those two can sing the way they sing. Like, go listen to Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. They ended up doing a song together that was just amazing. We did, like, a marathon in this, and there was still time to have a bonfire outside and watch an outdoor movie with our new fire pit we got and this, like, $60 projector we got from Amazon that creates, like, this outdoor drive-in movie theater experience with the ocean breeze. I'm like, wow, this is a fucking day. Like, this is the dream, and I have such appreciation for it because, you know, it's basically taking, like, all these, like, back in the day, like, any one of these things would have made a great day, but, like, I found a way to get them all into a single day, and it's just, man, it just blows my mind, and man, do this for yourself. Like, figure out exactly what you enjoy doing and just find a way to just plug it into your life and commit to it. Commit to working it in. And You know, one thing I'm a big fan of too, you know, if I ever ran for office, which I won't because I've had too many probably outlandish things I've done in my life and career, but, you know, that would resurface with enough opposition research. But create 3 to 4 day weekends. And what's good, it's nice to see, like, a lot more companies are coming around to the fact of giving workers flex time, and, you know, one day a week they can work from home, or they can choose to work, you know, longer hours for the full 5 days, or shorter hours for the full 5 days, or longer hours for just 3 to 4 days of the week. But I would be all about the 3 day work week. You know, work from Tuesday to Thursday. Look, how many people are bullshitting at their jobs right now, and this, like, bullshit, you know, 9 hour day that, you know, people are productive for a couple hours a day, which is why, again, like, you're like, he only works from 2 to 5. Well, yeah, like, that would be. When I was at Men's Health, I would probably do 3 hours of really productive work a day, like everybody else there. So I know that, but now it's just more focused and it's at a certain time. And then I have all this other free time. I don't have to worry about the confines of, like, this predetermined schedule from some asshole who originally thought it'd be a good idea. It's not. That's not good for humans. We need more rest time. We need more recovery time. We need more unproductive time. So when we are productive, we are fucking laser focused and we get shit done in a big way. Huge fan of that. And again, like, the summer sabbatical, I always, like, you look back, like, why was summer so great? Yeah, it's because it's typically warmer, especially when you're in the north. But besides, like, summer reading, or if, like, you unfortunately were one of those that got suckered into summer school, like, all I did during the summer was train, play sports, hang out with friends, watch the summer blockbuster movies, eat great food, you know, this is the first summer where, like, I think last summer we didn't do it as well because we finally made it here and we, like, felt the pressure of, you know, trying to make more money and do be more productive with like a great space to work with and the beauty of the environment. But now we're like, you know what? We'll do work when we have to do it, but let's make more of a sabbatical this summer and just work hard in pockets, but then really just have a lot of let's be lazy as fuck and have fun and enjoy this. You know, these epic days, man, like I'll tell you, it just you will not believe how much you'll appreciate it when. Yo, sorry about that. We got cut off because the recording only goes for an hour. But as I was saying, these epic days, they change everything, right? And you will not believe how much you'll appreciate it when you can finally experience these on a more regular basis. And they're not just about being confined to, you know, once a year on a special trip or vacation. Like, you've created a lifestyle for yourself where you can tap into this on, you know, not a monthly basis, a weekly basis, or maybe multiple times a week if you're really living the dream. So, you know, in conclusion here, again, I've shared a lot of stuff with you guys and gals in this, but it's all about self-awareness. Please get in touch with your strengths, weaknesses, and desires, and then go on autopilot from there, pursuing a lifestyle built to your exact specifications. Ask yourself the big questions. Plot out your ideal home and schedule. Put yourself in a fast track to a career path that helps you bridge the gap between the way you want to live and the way you live now. Set your living standards and don't ever compromise on them. Now, it might take you longer than you originally thought. I know it took me longer to get here than we hoped or thought it would, but don't stop pursuing it. Eventually, you will get there. And then be content with maximizing what you've got, right? We all have our own limitations, but if you do the best with the gifts you've been given, there's no reason to not be thrilled with your life, even if other people have more. You can only control what you can control, and you can only work with what you've got. So be okay with that. And for me, that's been something I've had to get used to because, you know, especially when you're younger, you have all these grand ambitions. But ultimately, I just wanted to live the way I wanted to live and provide a lifestyle to the people I cared about the most. And I'm there. And also share my experiences in fitness with other people to help them maximize their experience and overcome some of the struggles I've had. So I'm doing it in a big way, and I'm enjoying my life, and plenty of more successful people, plenty of more fit people, plenty of people with more money, whatever. But there aren't people out there enjoying their life more than I am, because this is exactly what I want to do. And that's what I want you to focus on. And always be one step ahead in the game of life and keep your eyes and ears open for the next big opportunity. You know, that's one concern that is unique to us now, and that we're finally like super content and happy, and it's easy to go into maintenance mode. But again, like, you can't necessarily go into maintenance mode long term, because even to live the same lifestyle we have now, trends will change, life will change, it will take different inputs to get the same output in 5-10 years. So you have to identify that, and you've got to stay on top of that and stay ahead of it. And we've always tried to do that, and it's also important to be motivated for the next thing, or you know, something new. And, you know, that's a big part of not only reaching happiness, but sustaining it. And that's something I'm going to continue to work on the rest of my life. And again, people that are much older than me, only 36, if you're in your 40s, 50s plus, you've got way more wisdom than I do on this. But, you know, I have a lot of people that follow me in their 20s and 30s, and people that are entrepreneurs or into fitness and looking to kind of follow a similar path. So I want to just shed some light on that today. I hope it really helps. And I just really want you to, you know, just like my grandparents imparted on me, man, you are special in your own right. Do exactly what your heart desires and pursue it to your fullest, man. And don't compromise for anyone. And I tell you what, that selfishness and that self-awareness now will make you such a better person. You'll have such more positive energy and light to share with the world. And I hope that for you more than anything else I can share with you and what I do in my life. Love you guys. Hope this helps. Please be sure to give a 5-star rating and review if you found you enjoyed the episode, and share it with friends or family that might need to hear this message. It helps us grow the podcast and get more people like you listening, which is what we're after. And if you have any other questions related to programs I offer, et cetera, check out show notes. We'll see you next time with another episode, and I hope this one helped. This is one of those episodes. It isn't really super fitness focused, but it's a lot more important than fitness. Fitness is just an afterthought when you start having the perfect day. Even though, if I'm being honest, like, movement and a good workout should be part of every single perfect day. But, you know, not just because it's good for your body, but food always tastes better after a great workout. Love you guys. Peace.